Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hello and welcome, Army fans, back for week two. My name is James. I am joining Dan as a Coastal Elite this week. Dan, we got in Coastal Connecticut, and Rob is somewhere in an airport, so you might hear some announcements going on in the background when it's his turn to talk. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Never better, all things considered. It was a frustrating game, but yeah, a couple of days. I don't know when the last time Army turned the ball over three times and missed two field goals and still had a chance to win at the end of the game was. So I'm trying to keep it positive.
Rob?
Yeah, the only thing I'm looking at is the historical matchup between K-State. Army leads the series. Hopefully that trend will continue going into this weekend.
Well, if you want to be a leader in the real estate game, we have a perfect ad for you. Dan, you want to take us through it?
Yes. Friends, Jocelyn Bradley is the realtor who sponsors this show. If you're PCSing to Fort Bragg, that's where she's located. And we got the woman for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered a passion for making a difference in people's lives. Friends, she is committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market. And she provides exceptional service when she's working for you, whether you're buying, selling, looking around, whatever. And if you're not moving to Fort Bragg, and let's be honest, people move a lot of places and Fort Bragg is just one of them, Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors who can support you in relocating around the country. Don't work with somebody who's going to try to upsell you 15% above what you think your top line is. Work with somebody that you can trust. Let Jocelyn hook you up with somebody who is a legitimate professional. And, this is how the Ask for Football, this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Jocelyn is supporting us here at Ask for Football. And we're trying to help you find the realtor that you need when you're moving to get you into the home of your dreams. So, just go to the Ask for Football website, click on her little business card. It'll take you to her webpage and you'll be talking to her as soon as you can. And she'll help you. You sell your house, find a house, whatever it is.
All right. So let's get into the review. I don't feel like spending too much time on it. We're not going to sugarcoat it. It was an FCS team. They lost. This tends to happen to service academies more regularly than we'd like to think. And it happened. Army got bit. Early season game against a very good FCS team in Tarleton State. We talked about this before the game, that Tarleton could probably go 500 in the American last year, right? I think you guys can throw some schools in too, but schools that Army played last year that I think this Tarleton team would beat, Tulsa, UAB, who else? They didn't play them, but I'm sure Charlotte, Temple. I think Tarleton State would whip the butts of all those guys. So, it's an FCS team. Yes, it's an FCS team that has FBS ambition and is very good. They performed very well last year in the FCS playoffs, so on and so forth. So, not excusing it, but this isn't your typical, right? This isn't my plebe year losing to Fordham. You guys got any thoughts?
I mean, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, just real quick. I was just going to say, if you watch the Tarleton State social media, you can tell that they've dumped a lot of money into that program, building up the facilities and get players to come and stay. That's why they're good. I mean, they're building a team that wants to jump to FBS. It's going to happen maybe, next year or the following year, but they already have the facilities and everything in place. So when you look at them, they look like a much bigger college. So I wouldn't even say they're punching above their weight. I think they just, showed up better prepared. And Army had the opportunity to win, and we all know you don't want to leave it on the foot of your kicker. Regardless of how good that kicker is, you don't want to, have the winning kick be the winning kick, if you understand what I'm saying.
So my only thing, I know we're trying to do a few less stats on this show, but there were a few that jumped out to me. Army struggled on offense all day. I thought the defense played you know, pretty well for the most part. But the Black Knights finished with 25 plays that went for 2 yards or less. They let Tarleton State put up 9 tackles for loss. You know, by comparison, LSU only notched 5 tackles for loss when they beat Army 62-0. And that was with the shotgun option. Black Knights finished 6 of 16 on third down, failed on a short fourth down conversion. You know, we talked about 2 interceptions and the fumble. You know, defense gave up game-breaking runs of 40, 28, 11 yards and passes of 21, 17, 14, and 13 yards. So, yeah, you'd like to do better. You'd like to block the dudes you're supposed to block and hit the holes you're supposed to hit.
Yeah, we can kind of move straight into takes on this because I don't want to rehash. Everyone watched the game. It was a season opener on a Friday night. I don't want to rehash the entire game and go through. I mean, yes, up by 2 scores in the third quarter, got it. 3 turnovers late in the game, got it. Lots of things to improve on. One thing I'll just point out, right? I was in the post game interview, got to ask Coach Munkin a question, and I basically said, "Hey, look, offense didn't look right today," which I think was fairly obvious.
Yep.
With 3 things that are different, which are. Your O-line is 60% new, your quarterback is 21 pounds lighter, and you lost your top rusher in Kanye Udo. Which one is it? And I think internally, and we put this out on Twitter, right, Matt Drinkle being gone hurts. There's other aspects as well. And I'm not trying to say that it's one of those 3 things, because it's a combination, right? But Munkin said point blank, "I don't think that Bryson Daly and Kanye Udo would have been able to move against that defense with the way that our O-line performed tonight." So that's not anything. Like, Jeff Munkin is the king of giving non-answers, and he straight up said our O-line was god-awful tonight. Like, that was a bit of honesty that I think was appreciated, right? He loses to Fordham in his second year. Everyone's like, okay, yeah, well, this is Army football, right? Because that's what Army football was. Well, now he's, you know, his 11th year in, and you're not supposed to lose to FCS teams with an 11th year head football coach at your institution. So he kind of knows, right? I think there's lots of reasons for it, and I'm not, you know, things happen. I'm not trying to bash it, right? Ken lost to Delaware at Navy. Things happen, but he was very honest right away about where he thought the problems offensively were. So. Kind of leave it at that. If you guys have other takes you want to share, let's go around the horn.
Yeah, the only thing that I have real quick was, like, when the line splits were close, so when they cut them down to about 1 foot and they were just zone blocking, they moved the ball pretty well. And then as they were getting down into the red zone, then we, you know, opted to go for the play action pass. I know you want to keep teams honest because they were scheming against the run, but, you know, throwing the interception does not help your chances of winning a football game. But like I said, with tighter splits and zone blocking, they were moving the ball pretty well. I don't know why they moved away from that, because every time they tried to pull a guard or tackle, like the scheme that Tarleton State was running was getting in the backfield. So when they tighten the splits and just block base, they did a lot better. It'll be interesting to see what improvements they made in the last week.
I'll put in a plug for our Firstie Club member. Mike Davis did a bit of film study on it, on the failed failed in the at the end of the first half where they couldn't score a touchdown and they wound up kicking a field goal. And, you know, he just pointed out, you know, a lineman miss a block, Coleman gets hit for negative yardage play. And then on the third down, working from the gun, Coleman, you know, the center right guard and fullback slam into the end zone, quarterback essentially runs to the wrong hole and gets smoked. I mean, I feel like those plays are indicative of what we saw all night. Dudes just seem uncomfortable with their responsibilities. And if they're doing the right thing, they're uncomfortable enough that they're probably doing it slowly and getting beat. And it's just like, obviously there's confidence that comes with that, with starting more games. And maybe we just gotten so used to having the same 5 linemen play essentially for almost 2 years in a row. I mean, last year's O-line was almost the same as we saw in 2023. This is what can happen when a new O-line comes out. And we just haven't seen that in a while. One last thing I'll point out is that College Football News dropped Army into their bottom 25, just behind an FAU team that got blasted 39-7 by Maryland this past Saturday. So, like, there's a lot of room for improvement. And let's hope that this doesn't define who Army is, that they can get this thing turned around with film study and with practice and get enough confidence to actually hit it the way they need to hit it.
So let's go to the last time a Service Academy lost an FCS game, right? We just talked about it. Navy losing to Delaware at home. Later that year, Navy beat a ranked UCF team. So, like, all's not lost, right? The American, you know, we're 0-0 in the American right now. We don't have the hardest schedule in the world in the American. There's two games that are, like, they're really hard games, and at Tulane and at UTSA, and everything else I would still say is a winnable game. So moving forward, trying to keep it positive. It's not in the outline, but we're going to do it anyway, not because I think we should with the result, but because I think we should because we're going to do it this year, but awards. So we're going to do a player of the game and a play of the game. I'll give my player of the game first, and then we'll go around. Everyone's got to give their own. I'll do Hayden Reed. Let me pull up his line real quick. He actually had a really good box score line. Yeah, 19 carries, 88 yards. That's 4.6 yards per carry and a touchdown. You know, you're looking for something. You know, you're not going to have the breaking speed of Kanye Udo anymore, but he was a fairly consistent guy that gave you a decent yard per carry average throughout the game.
Give me Cale Helms, number two quarterback. Nice. Coming in as a Cal. Off the bench, had 8 carries for 37 yards and a touchdown. I thought he brought a spark when he came in. I think we can all see that he's not quite the thrower that Dwayne Coleman is, but I was excited, and I think he runs the offense, like, as a runner. I think he runs the offense pretty well, and I'm excited to see what he can do over the course of the rest of the season.
I like it. Rob?
Yeah, I'm not looking directly at his numbers, but I think Noah Short, man, like, we can get him going. Like, That's your option right there. You know, if you get Hayden Reed, Noah Short, 1-2 punch, that's Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside. You just got to be consistent in using both of those players.
Yeah, I got Noah Short's lines right now. So he had 11 carries for 43 yards. It's just under 4 yards average. And then he had 6 catches for 81 yards on the longer 27. So Noah Short definitely with a good game. I will say, honorable mention, he was my number two, and he didn't get mentioned. I just want to point him out. Andon Thomas, 14 total tackles, 9 of those were solo, and a TFL on that. So hat tip to him as well. Play of the game, I'm gonna say Cale Helms coming in and just plugging it in when Dwayne Coleman came out for the first time before the half. He came in and looked very Bryson Daly-ish inside the five there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll agree with that one. You know, he came in, Army had been really struggling on those short yardage plays, and then Helm comes in and punches it right in. And I think, you know, the people that were around me in the stands were pretty excited to see more of him. So I have a sneaking suspicion we might see more of him this week too, and we'll see. I'd also like to point out Jake Rendina, 3 carries, 10 yards. I think they could have given him more carries, dude. He was hitting the hole really well on Friday night.
Yeah, well, here's my unsolicited take for the offense. I think we move Hayden Reed back to split back, and you put Jake Rendina as a full-time fullback. I think that would give you
– with Rendina is that he's kind of – like, he's not going to be your guy that gets you 7 yards nearly as often as Reed. He's your short yardage back, and we just didn't have short yardage situations in this game. Got behind the sticks so much.
But I think him blocking for Reed, you know, having 2 fullbacks in the game, it would be probably the most Army thing you can do. You know, maybe not ready to hit the fire alarm just yet, but just, you know, thinking of other options to create more space for the team.
He's definitely lighter this year. You know, he's lost like 30 pounds. He is demonstrably faster. Like, he looks faster on the field, and he's hitting the hole way faster.
All right. We ready to play a game, gents?
Yeah, hold on. I got to cue up the sounder, man. I made this one especially for you, and we don't have the award sounder yet.
You're creeping the shit out of me with these sounders, man. We're gonna have to talk about your mental state.
Shall we play a game?
There we go. All right. So for the game today, how's it gonna work? Is we're gonna go back and forth, and if you hit, we'll say 2 strikes, because we'll keep it shorter. You hit 2 strikes, you're out. And hopefully we can get through all the players. There are 13 answers, correct answers. Who are the Army rushers in the Jeff Munkin era? Meaning that those rushing yards came as Jeff Munkin was the coach, of over 1,000 yards. There are 13 of them.
Wow.
We're going back and forth. When you get 2 strikes, you're out. and then we'll go through the rest. So
we got to go back and forth until one of us taps out?
Until one of you taps out, yeah.
All right. Who's going first?
You can, Dan.
Ahmad Bradshaw.
Boom. Number one, Ahmad Bradshaw.
Kelvin Hopkins.
During the Monk era. What's that?
Kelvin Hopkins.
Kelvin Hopkins, number five, 1767.
Bryson Daly, easy.
27-23, he's number two.
Kanye Udo.
Kanye Udo, number eight, 1641.
Darnell Wolfolk.
Number three, 2368. Dan's got the top three.
Sandy McCoy.
McCoy not on the list. That is strike one for Rob.
Oh, God, now I'm struggling to come up with fullbacks here. Good Lord. Tyre Tyler.
Tyre Tyler, number six, 1735.
Andy Davidson.
Andy Davidson, number four, 1918.
Not Jabari Laws, the other quarterback that was with them. Chris, what was his last name? Help me out, Rob.
Anderson.
Thank you.
All right, we'll give that one to Dan. Christian Anderson, 1500.
Christian Anderson, thank you. From the Bronx.
Terry Baggett.
Terry Baggett is going to be strike number two. Terry Baggett did have some yards under Monken, but he didn't have over 1,000 yards under Monken. But I'll give you another shot at that one because that one's kind of a trick. There is a player from that era who's split with Monken who's got 1,000.
Oh, I know who it is. I know who it is. I can't remember his name. It was the fullback. He was really good. He was like, but I have to look up his name. I can't remember, but it was definitely the fullback. As soon as you say it, I'm going to scream because I know.
All right, so we'll start. We'll see how many you can get before we get there. So right now you guys have 1 through 6. You're missing 7, 9, 10, 12, and 13. So there are no more quarterbacks on this list. You have three fullbacks and two slot backs left.
Larry Dixon, somebody just dropped a comment. Thank you.
Larry Dixon is the one was on the edge. He had 1102 under Monken.
I don't know, man. I'm ready to take my victory. I don't know if I can come up with the rest of these. Why don't you give us the rest?
One of them you're gonna let's see if you can get. There's two more that are recent. One of them was famous for like almost never losing yardage.
Oh, okay.
Darnell Wolfolk.
We already said Darnell.
Jacoby Buchanan.
Jacoby Buchanan. Yep, number nine, 1640. The other one was a speedy guy. Also had a decent amount of receptions. He graduated last year. He was very good as a plebe and a yuck. And then later he had some injury problems.
Oh, Tyrell Robinson?
Tyrell Robinson, 1630. Last two I'll give to you. They're from same era, 2017, 2018. Kel Walker and Connor Slomka at 7 and 12, respectively.
I'm a little surprised with Slomka because he was always such a short yardage back, but I feel bad about not getting Kel Walker.
Yeah. So, yes, because Slomka was one of those ones that just kind of – it was four at the same time, right? It was Davidson – McCoy, Slomka, and Wolfolk. And they would just like do a set of four downs with one fullback, and then another one would come in, and your fullbacks just always had fresh legs because they had been sitting for the last 4 minutes, and then they'd come in, and then you just always had fresh fullbacks. But all right, so that's the end of the game this week. Dan is our winner. Come back next week. We're going to start making this a regular thing. I think it's fun, gets the audience engaged. So
Anthony Scott in the Firsty Club is watching live, and I got a shout out to him for giving us Larry Dixon because I would never have come up with his name.
So if you guys have any suggestions, you can hit up me on Twitter, DM me at Brigade Review. That way you can keep the subject private and keep these guys from cheating. speaking of cheating, you can cheat your way into $1,300. Dan, you want to tell us about that?
So yeah, Craig Oxane, he is not the vice president of residential lending. He is the area sales manager for the Money Store, and he is a mortgage broker, member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, if you haven't noticed the theme, we are helping you move because we know that that is what you do when you're in the Army. And if you happen to be in the Navy and you're listening to this podcast as well, we'll also move your ass because we will work with squids because our sponsors just like to make money, and that is okay. Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. It's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And guys, the mortgage process is freaking confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place, you know, especially right now. If you know what it's going to happen next with interest rates, like I'll give you $5. You want to deal with somebody who actually cares, who will work with you, you can talk to on the phone, not a call center, not some random big box bank or you know, minus website, get a mortgage from china.com, whatever. And this is how the West Point Network work functions. Like we said this, right? Craig and Jocelyn too are helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football. And we're trying to help you find a house and get a mortgage. That's like what we do. And plus, as James said, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, he is the area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. His link is on our website. They both, Craig and Jocelyn, both have a business card on there. Click on the business card. You'll go right there. In Craig's case, you'll answer a little questionnaire, and you'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. I'm telling you, five-star service. It's too easy.
All right, moving on to Kansas State. All right, so Kansas State got a good football team. They started the season, the preseason ranked. They had a ranked matchup against Iowa State in Dublin and lost in week zero, 24-21, kind of a heartbreaker. Then they struggled against FCS North Dakota, won like barely in the last 2 minutes of the game. North Dakota is another very good FCS team, although in recent history, North Dakota has not been as good as the other three Dakota teams. So I we don't know this year, but in the last few years, Tarleton has been much more dominant than North Dakota. They pull it out 38-35. You know, this is a game that going into the season, you're like, man, they got to play a tough FCS team a week after they travel back from Ireland. Army gets an extra day's rest. It's earlier in the season. Kansas State has transfers they're still getting used to. This is a trap game for Kansas State. Maybe Army can pull this out. Then on Friday, right, Army loses to an FCS team, and you're like, okay, well, let's chalk this one off and start preparing for the American Conference. And then Kansas State almost loses to an FCS team, and now we're back to, hey, I mean, roll the dice, see what happens. Start off with their quarterback on offense. Avery Johnson came in, you know, very highly touted, did well last year. 49-73 passing so far for almost 600 yards and five TDs. The big problem with Kansas State is that they are not effective on third and fourth down. They are Johnson, when he is under pressure this year, has not proven himself. Their third down rate is 38%. Wow. If Kansas State has a 38% third down conversion rate against Army, Army is in this game. And it doesn't matter how bad the O-line, like, it's going to be a low-scoring game if that happens. Now, the safeties can't get beat deep. If Army safeties get beat deep and their corners get beat, you know, different story, then they're just not going to have third downs. But if Army can get third downs and force them into those situations, things will change. Running game's been slow to get started because what's the running back's name?
I'm blanking. Joe Jackson.
Jackson.
23 carries for 106 yards.
No. The first guy who got hurt in game one on the second play.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember his name.
It's gonna bother me. Anyway, their star running back going into the season. It's gonna bother me. Anyway, we'll get you an answer. Got hurt in the Dublin game. It was said he was going to be out for game two and then maybe the game three. And so if he's back, that's a huge advantage because he seems really good compared to the quarterback. And if Kansas State goes two-dimensional, it's going to be a much harder game. let's see here. I don't want to leave it open here. Let's get a name.
Well, another comment from Anthony Scott while you're looking that up. Apparently K-State only has one viable option at wideout. Certainly that passing game has not looked as advertised. Not that it's bad. I mean, I think Johnson is a good quarterback, but they've been struggling, and it has been a lot of tight ends, which sometimes is an Achilles heel for Army. I don't know. You ready to tell us that guy's name now?
Yeah, Dylan Edwards.
Okay.
So we'll see. We will see if he's available in Manhattan this weekend, but that's definitely something to keep an eye on. They've fumbled the ball four times in two games. The first game, you know, that was, I don't know how many times it was in Dublin, but that was pouring rain in Dublin. Yeah. So you can kind of
week zero, wet field, and you're playing in Europe.
Right.
Almost, not really surprising.
But yeah, so good offense on paper, has not proven it so far this year. Injury problems, ripe for an upset. But obviously, on the flip side, Army's going to have to be far more consistent on offense, on the offensive line, if that's going to be the case. And Army's got our own injury problems. So, Dan, you want to take over defense?
Yeah, it's hard to really talk too much about their defense. I thought their defensive line looked amazing in that opener against Iowa State. And to date, they have the 28th ranked rushing defense, allowing less than 120 yards per game through two games. Iowa State, by the way, pretty good rushing team. Linebacker Austin Romain leads the team in tackles with 18. But the next two guys are cornerbacks. So, you know, maybe Army can make something with that. In the past, we have seen the Black Knights do okay against teams that tend to have more tacklers out of the secondary. And they gave up more than 3 yards per carry to North Dakota last week. So there's something there. Week zero, though, that week zero game was very much a defensive struggle. Again, how much of that was week zero in Ireland and how much of it was these two offenses is a little hard to say. And North Dakota put up 35 points and actually had the lead at the half and again in the fourth quarter. So I don't know what to say about this defense, but I thought that defensive line looked pretty scary when I saw them week zero.
All right. And we have to assume they have the edge in the kicking game, as their kicker is perfect with 8 extra points and a field goal at 35 yards out. Their punter is probably around our punters, is averaging about 40 yards per punt, although our punter and wagon seller has been fairly consistent in his time in the role, which has been a welcome addition. Weather and betting lines, let's get into those. Kickoff schedule for 7 Central, 8 o'clock Eastern time, and that's just outside of Fort Riley. Expecting a few afternoon clouds with temps in the upper 60s at kickoff. Should be a really nice night. Kansas State's currently favored by 16.5 with the over-under at 46.5. Dan, why don't you take us through your takes first?
Yeah, man. K-State is kind of a lot like Army, right? Talented team on paper. Haven't looked quite right yet. This will be their third week, and they'll have watched a lot of film and had a lot of chance to clean up their mistakes, which is probably the biggest concern I have going into this game. You would think that they would come out ready to play and to make a statement. I mean, K-State has fans and boosters and like a narrative that they want to get over after a lousy start. And they would like to, you know, really hammer the Black Knights in order to sort of put some of this nonsense behind them. I think most people can understand you drop a week zero game in Ireland, but then you come back and have a kind of a ugly performance, for lack of a better term, against an FCS school. And suddenly people are like, I don't know what I'm looking at. So they sort of need to make a statement this week. And, you know, for better or worse, I think Army also needs to do that same thing. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I think, again, on paper, this is not supposed to be a close game. Army's the biggest question mark to me is Army's offensive line. They have to prove something, right? I think back to a few years ago, take away the cut blocking rules, right? Stick one of those really light quarterbacks that we used to have, right? Christian Anderson, Tyre Tyler, that are, you know, 180 pounds soaking wet. And I think Christian Anderson was a little bit heavier because he was a little bit taller, but still really skinny, right?
Tyler's a perfect example of what you're talking about, though.
Stick them behind that O-line on last Friday. I mean, good luck, right? You don't have to be Bryson Daly to show how, you know, like it's going to be an uphill battle until we see that offensive line prove something. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some sort of pulse there. Kansas State, the one thing that is good about them having the week zero game instead of just starting week one, it does give them more game practice, game snaps, the whole nine. But the one good thing is it removes them one more week from any option prep they did in summer camp. So, you know, they're doing a decent amount of option prep. But normally they could go basically up to a week before week one. Now they have to go a week prior. And so this week they're prepping for the option, but it's been longer since they've done that. So maybe that'll help. Maybe it won't. We'll see.
Certainly looked like Tarleton State had spent the entire offseason working on the triple option.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they sold out to the middle of the field the entire game. And
they definitely did. Yeah.
Eventually, Army couldn't pass around it anymore. Like, yeah. It was tough. All right, let's revisit fact or fiction real quick. Dwayne Coleman runs for 100.
Wait.
Yep.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
I like my face, man.
I apologize, man. I thought that all of our intros were supposed to be creepy now. I hadn't heard the fact or fiction one. Coleman runs for 100 yards. He went exactly for 100, so that was a fact. Rob said Army will have one TFL, one sack, and one pass defended. That was a fact. They went 275. Man, Rob picking the...
Yeah, that was low-hanging
fruit. 1,000 odds? Yeah. I would have said 3-3-3 maybe. Jordan, Army averages more pass attempts per game this season than last season. TBD, they threw 16 times in an FCS game. Not a great look, if you ask Jeff Muckin, but yes, that would be an increase in the average.
I mean, they went with Coleman, I think, largely because he's a better passer, for better or worse.
I think they went with Coleman because what's-his-face got hurt, and he was the most polished they had.
Ethan Washington? Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, Washington, believe me, was going to throw too. So.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right. Upcoming fact or fiction. What do you got, Dan?
Army averages at least 3.5 yards per carry. This feels like low hanging fruit, but it was also a hell of a struggle this past Friday.
What did we have against Tarleton State?
I don't know the answer to that question. You can
look that up.
You can filibuster for a second, and I will tell you.
Yeah. Against Iowa State only had 2.8 against Kansas State.
Well, that's pretty damn ominous.
Yeah.
Army 4.2, 66 carries, 280 yards, 4.2 yards per
carry. All right.
I'll take
the fact on that. I mean, the problem with Army wasn't that we couldn't keep our average up. It was just that it was all or nothing.
Yeah. They were breaking long
19-yard run or a negative 1-yard run.
Yeah.
And we had too many negative 1-yard runs and, you know, string together where we had to punt and then we had turnovers. I'll take fact on that.
All right. So I guess we got fact agreement there, for better or worse.
Yeah. It's feels like a cheap fact agreement. I did not
There's
prepare.
There's only two of us, which is unfortunate. Rob had to board his plane.
Yeah. Let's see if any Firsty Club members have something for me.
I don't think we got too many guys on still.
Yeah. Let's see. I will say that Army wins the turnover battle.
I'm sorry. I got to go fiction on that one. I hope it's true, but I just, this is not what we've seen so far.
I agree, but I also think that anytime, like last year, anytime Army had a bad game with turnovers or a bad turnover, like the next game, they didn't turn the ball over to a fault. Like, they were probably less efficient on offense because of their desire to not turn the ball over. But we'll see.
Here's hoping, man. I would like to see it. Yeah. So Anthony Scott registered one. He says Army gets 2 sacks and 5 tackles for loss.
Oh, this that they had that against Tarleton.
Two sacks, 5 tackles for loss. 5 tackles for loss, I think I might take, but 2 sacks is, I don't know about that one.
It's hard to do both, especially with how much Johnson's going to want to throw it if that running back is hurt. So I'm going to go fiction on that because I don't think we're going to get enough opportunities.
Yeah, well, that's – so sacks count as tackles for loss. So if you – so that's essentially 2 sacks plus 3 other
– Right, I'm just saying I don't think they're going to run the ball much without their – without that running back.
Without their star running back?
Yeah, so if they don't run the ball, you know, maybe you get 1 TFL outside the sacks, and then you're asking for 4 sacks. I don't think that's going to happen.
Interesting. I think if they try that, if they try to throw it all over the place, they make this game way closer than it has to be. So I guess I'm going to take fact on that one.
I think you're right on the first part where I think that it makes the game closer than it needs to be. But just because they're going to run into 3rd and 7s more often, if you see what I'm saying. But
yeah.
Anyway. All right.
Hold on before we go on. So I remember the Wisconsin game, right? And I thought Wisconsin had a really good plan against Army in the sense that they were like, all right, we're a bigger team. We're a Big Ten team. We're just going to run like all hell. And that game ended up being close, but I still thought that was the right way to attack the Black Knights. And, you know, if these guys try to go the other way with it, I think this game is going to be close.
All right. Now, before we go to mailbag and Dan scares the audience again. I do want to bring something up from the episode last week. I was not here to defend the great honor of the class of 2019, as it was as there was hearsay by Jordan about the Firsty Club. The Firsty Club opened themselves up to cows when the class of 2019 was cows. That is a true fact. It had nothing to do with anyone feeling bad for the class of 2019. It was 100% a bottom line decision. The class of 2018 doesn't drink. They can't hold their liquor. And they had to bring in the class of 2019 to make sure that the Firsty Club was profitable when they brought it back. All right. You can clip that. Rob can put it on Twitter. Like it was a very simple decision. All right.
I actually know that because we were talking about that with the lady that was managing the club. The place was dead, right? They need to sponsor this show to get the word out about those pregame tailgates. It was a beautiful spread, and there was like 5 people there. But anyway, and I said, you know, when did you start having cows? And she told me the whole deal. But it's insane because when I was there, I don't want to say it was a dive bar, but dude, it was not what it is now. So
no, it was when it opened back up, it was a really good place to go. At first, they served everything. I had heard a rumor, and I don't know if this is still the case, that they stopped serving hard liquor, so it was beer and wine only. But when it first opened up, they served hard liquor. They had good food, and it was like, okay, why am I going to walk or try to get the Knight Rider all the way out to go to Highland Falls when this is a quarter mile away? It's got good food, got beers, and it's got great mixed drinks or whatever, right? I can have a decent scotch if I want to.
That's crazy, but yeah, I'm pretty sure they still got liquor there. I think I saw that.
Went away at some point. I don't know if it's back.
They have a whole, like, I'd hesitate to call it a wine cellar, but they had like a rack. I sort of wanted to walk in there and walk around because, as you know, I'm kind of a wine guy. And you know, yeah, I was suitably impressed.
Let me tell you something. The firsties going to that club are not going through the wine room. They're
getting I got that. Yeah,
$16 cupcake red wine and and finishing it by themselves.
I really, this is, you know, Rob's been talking about doing As for Football lifestyle in the off season, and if we do that, if that project actually happens, wine is going to be one of the major topics. I would like to do that.
If you need a Scotch guy, let me know. We'll put it on the company card. I'll sample the scotches for you. All right. We'll make it work. I'll do that for you. All right.
All right. All right. Thank you. All right. Are we ready for this? We're ready for this mailbag.
Let's do this mailbag intro.
You've got mail.
All right. So we've asked for your questions. We're doing mailbag this year. Go ahead, send us an email on our website or hit us up on social media and we'll put it in. Greg, I know he's a member. I'm not going to pretend to pronounce your last name correctly. Was T-State a trap game, or are we in a rebuilding year? Both, I think, is a pretty obvious answer there. T-State, right, as we talked about, would have been 500 in the American last year. At least I think so. Also, we lost 60% of our offensive production, and that's really hard. I mean, the strength of our team last year was our offense. Not that the defense was bad by any means, but the strength of our team was the offense, and we lost 60% of it to include the most important position and 60% of the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line. So you have any other things to add there?
I don't know how you have a trap game in week one as your home opener when you've won 10 straight at home. But I don't know if I'm ready to pull the plug on this season. I will say, you know, Air Force looked god awful for a lot of last year and then finished the year winning either four or five straight.
I think it was seven. It was like seven straight, right?
No, it was four because they ended up 5-7. But they got it turned around right before the Army game. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Army. It just take a couple weeks for these guys to settle in and really look the way that you want them to look. You got a bunch of new guys in there, and I don't think we appreciated how difficult that was going to be.
All right, Joey is next. What are the good elements of the game that we can focus on? You want to go first on this one?
Yeah, man. I mean, they had every chance to win the game, and they really should have won it on a 43-yard field goal. I mean, I get that that's not a gimme, but it's a kick that you would expect to make and at the Division I level. So as bad as that last fourth quarter was, as you know, 25 plays that essentially went nowhere, 9 tackles for loss, all the other crap that was there, this is still a game that they probably should have won just on the merits. And that's pretty amazing considering that they had 3 turnovers, you know, 2 missed field goals, 9 negative plays, like just all the just not Army stuff. When was the last time you saw Army be competitive in a game where they had all those problems?
So you said that earlier, and I was trying to think back. In the Fordham game they lost, it was 2 turnovers.
Yeah.
I remember there being a game where Army was relatively competitive until late, and so they didn't really have a chance in the fourth quarter. But there was a North Texas game where they had 7 turnovers.
That was a miserable game. God, I remember every minute.
And then they beat North Texas in the bowl game that year.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't remember 3 turnovers and still competitive.
Pretty rare in the Monken era. I mean, it's just not the way that the triple option works. Usually you really have to control the ball. And if you go -3 on the turnover margin, you could turn it over 3 times, but then you have to generate 3 turnovers.
But by the way, best part of that bowl game by far and away was the sign that somebody had in the, it was in the Cotton Bowl at the Heart of Dallas Bowl. It was opposite the press box, and the closed circuit TV guy kept putting it on the screen every single time North Texas had a good play. There was one Army fan that had a sign that just said, "Who cares? We beat Navy." And all the North Texas guys had a chuckle at that.
That's awesome.
All right, Brian, is there something to the way Navy has been grabbing underclassmen and playing them at quarterback for a couple of years? So I got some thoughts on this. He says, I understand my perspective. Watching Ronnie Makeda play for 3 years straight was a bit of an anomaly. But if they have a kid that I think is going to be the guy in a year or two, we know we're not playoff bound this year. Why not play him? I agree. So generally speaking, and I think this year you would have seen a yuck start. In Ethan Washington, if he didn't get hurt. I think that was sort of the consensus in summer camp. Non-contact injury, you know, ends up out.
Tears his knee up.
We still might see him for 3 years, we'll see. Here is the problem with starting a yuck. The transfer portal. Kanye Udo, breakout season as a yuck. Gone, right? Tyrell Robinson, tried to go. After a breakout season as a yuck, all these players that have breakout seasons before their affirmation end up going elsewhere. So it's sort of a blessing and a curse when you have that talent breakout in the yuck year. You're never really going to get plebe talent coming out in a triple option offense, especially at quarterback, right? Because it just takes too long for them to learn the system. Even if they go and do their prep year and then they show up, there's still a lot for them to learn. It's just hard to start a plebe. Obviously, Tyler did it in Army Navy that one year. I think it was in 2020.
UTSA, but that wasn't, he wasn't a
plebe. There was a year, it was the 2020 year at Mikey. Both starting quarterbacks were plebes. It was Xavier Arline and Tyre Tyler, I thought.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, okay. But I don't think he was the starter to start that year. It's sort of rare, and obviously that wasn't in the transfer portal era. So there's a bit of a flip side on that. So you got to remember that. And the other thing is, and we'll talk more about this. I don't think Army necessarily has the capacity to do this year. But Navy's style of offense, this new style that they run, swing T, whatever you want to call it, far more complex, perhaps not as consistent. Like you saw last year, right? A good Navy offense last year lost to Rice, something that Army's offense last year never would have done. So there's some times when it just doesn't click that day and you can lose a bad game. But when it's working and it's complex, it's very hard to defend. The problem is it takes a quarterback that's very skilled and has a great understanding of the offense. And so when you get that guy, you're going to start him for as long as you can. Army's system is a little bit more plug and play at quarterback. It's more consistent, maybe doesn't have the same complexity. And I think that in the long run, you're going to see two things happen. You're going to see Army's system get slightly more complex and Navy's system add in a bigger offensive line and get a little bit less complex. And you're going to sort of come back to a middle somewhere, but Navy really relies on that smart and very skilled quarterback. So once you get it, if he's a yearling, you're putting him in. Doesn't matter. Army's, there's a little bit more of, okay, is he older? Has he put the muscle mass on? Is he a little bit heavier? Does he have the experience? There's a little bit more of that. I do agree that, like in this year, I don't know who's going to start next week. I don't know who's going to start against Air Force. I don't know who's going to start against Navy. And to be honest, in those games, I hope that they pick the player that is number one going to that is going to give them the most the best chance to win in the CIC games. When it comes to every other game, I don't care unless you are prepping for that game or prepping for next year, right? Like I would rather see a player get experience than just give it to the firstie. And I'm not saying that that's specifically what's going on this year with Army, but generally speaking, I'd like to see that.
I would just kind of add on to that. How do you start the person who's not going to give you the best chance to win?
Here's my example. My plebe year, we went 2-10. It was clear from the moment that we lost to Fordham at home on the Friday night opener that we were going to suck that year. And and by the way, like there were a lot of close games. It was clear Army was like on the cusp of turning it around.
Yeah,
but we had no chance of going to a bowl. We beat an Eastern Michigan team, and I forget who the other win was. It was probably, I think it was Bucknell.
Bucknell. Yeah, on homecoming. I remember that.
Yes, it was not a good year. The fact that what's-his-face was starting at quarterback, fumbling the ball all over the field.
Bradshaw. Only starting because...
No. Bradshaw was who I wanted.
I know who you're talking about. Chris Carter. No.
No, Chris Carter started Army-Navy that year.
Both
Bradshaw and the other guy were hurt. Sticks. It was number 11. Schmidt. Why Schmidt started any of... Was it Schmidt?
No. There were only three. You had Schur, who kept getting hurt.
Sure. AJ Schur.
The only reason he didn't start was because he kept getting hurt.
They were running him out half hurt while he put the ball on the field four times a game. Like, it was disturbing to watch. And you're like, look, guys, you're in these games. You're close to winning them. You're not winning them. You have two wins. Just start the guy you're going to start next year and get him ready.
That is in a sense what ended up happening,
right? And not because that was their plan.
But this year, just to come back to it, this year they were definitely going to start Dwayne Coleman because he was the most ready early. And, you know, I had always kind of expected that we would see him for two games and then we might see the new quarterback in for the North Texas game. And now with Coleman hurt, you know, maybe we've accelerated that. I don't know. So it'll be interesting, but we're not far off, I think, from playing some younger players this year. I just mean that from injuries. I mean, they've got, you know, Zach Mundell is out there taking snaps now as the number three QB, and you may definitely see him play. So,
right. I mean, both of our quarterbacks got banged up at some point in this game. So, all right. So, I got a favorite thing. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good.
All right. So a little rag and brag, favorite thing. So evidently when K-State, football players' fathers are out in town after a game, they decide to get into fights with their son. Meanwhile, Army football players, if you haven't seen this in the news, Army football players and their dads went out after a game, are pulling people from cars that are about to explode. So Larry Pickett Jr., he's a sophomore, was out after the game with his parents. They came on a car that had gone into some sort of telephone pole, and there was gas leaking everywhere from a crash, and it was getting sparked, and he and his father jumped out of the car, pulled this guy out of the car, and then there's a pretty dramatic video of about 2 minutes later, the entire car being up in flames. So hat tip to him. That's what it's all about. You got anything else, Dan?
No, I mean, people were talking about him getting the Soldier's Medal. You know, it's been national level news, pretty great thing. Several people have emailed me to be like, hey, have you seen this? Yeah, I saw it. You know, it was amazing. And good that the Army team got some good news coming out of a rough start, you know,
Get
them change the conversation. We can't go back and revisit last week. We can only go forward and play this week. And that's good.
And by the way, way more important than a stupid football game. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Cool. Well, if that's it, beat the Wildcats.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!